The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up and coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com. Hello, welcome back to the Scouted podcast with me, Joe Donoghue. After discussing the concept of scouted archetypes on last month's episode about power forwards, we turn our attention to fullbacks. I'm once again joined by the man behind the archetypes, scouted analyst Jake Entwistle, author of Monday Night Scouted, which is always an insightful read when that drops into my inbox at the start of the week. Jake has penned something new on fullbacks, splitting the position into three separate archetypes: flyer, pathfinder, and imposter. We're going to get into what they mean, who the great examples are of each in modern day football, and crucially, how to identify them using data as well as the naked eye. Jake, the Power Forwards article was very well received, and I hope in the past few days since the fullbacks archetypes piece went live, there's been similar feedback on that particular analysis. What have you enjoyed most about this investigative scouted archetypes series so far?
Well, yeah, the difference between this one and the power forward one is I got to split them up into three rather than focusing on one that appeared. So the power forward one was like, this is the profile that's going to be the meta one soon that you should get on. And I think recently Russell Martin did a really good job of proving that point by talking about how at Southampton, their recruitment almost missed the athleticism of the Premier League in particular. So I was like, yes, keep saying this. That makes it sound good. Whereas this one was probably even more fun in the sense that I got to like go at it from an earlier stage. Like the power forward one, I'd been mentioning that term throughout the newsletters because it was something that I spotted and was trying to sort of push into the mainstream. Whereas this one, it was like pretty much blank slate. Kerkez and the Liverpool fullback situation had been... The idea had been progressing a bit throughout the season because Robertson was like, everyone was saying he's finished, they need to replace him. And then Alexander-Arnold stuff has accelerated again in the past week about his move to Real Madrid. So how do you go about replacing the most iconic fullback pairing of the modern era, definitely, if not Premier League all time? So this was about working out what they did, what made them that good. Obviously, team styles, managers, everything comes into it. But what did Klopp tell them to do that made them, one, give them the platform to showcase their absolute superpower rather than just be a fullback? And then what other players have emerged in different scenarios that are showing a really specific skill set to a really specific role? And then everyone's going to fall in the spectrum. So this was about creating like three types that obviously you don't have to just be one of them, but you'll lean into one and be used, and that'll be your most preferred role. But similar to the way we've been discussing this, like internally, the archetype stuff is we want, because we're a magazine as well, we want it to be useful for data recruitment as well, but we're having a bit of fun with it, like finding out which types players are almost as if they're Pokemon. Is something that runs through my head. Like you start working out the strengths and weaknesses, and so would the imposter be good against a low block and stuff like that? Almost becomes fire versus water. So it's really fun to think of it in that way. And again, some people might be like, "No, stop ruining the game." But like that has actually helped me sort of discover certain types more, because I'm thinking if I'm going to find the absolute purest form of this thing, that like. Again, for like the imposter one of what does a midfielder when they're playing football fullback look like through the data, and then just interrogating as much of it as possible to build the pure form, and then obviously no one's ever going to be that, but you can then branch out from it. So yeah, just diving into rabbit holes head first has been really fun.
I really enjoy that Pokemon analogy. It is quite is quite apt considering what we're going to discuss in terms of evolving a certain position or a certain team's fullback position. But as I mentioned in the introduction, you've got the three archetypes: flyer, pathfinder, and imposter. We'll begin with flyer because that is the one which you tackled first in the Scouted Notebook article. Or rather, I feel like every time I say article, it's not really doing it justice. It's more of a thesis or an analysis. Because that's what it is.
It's an introduction. It's the first step. So these, like you said there, that these are going to change. And even now, as soon as I write it, I think maybe this should have actually been combined into what, like, so they're going to change. But for now, I think they're pretty three clear, like, diverging profiles that we can develop from. But yeah, the reason I started with the flyers, because it's probably the most familiar, I think, for like the general football fan, and has one that has been around since the dawn of time. But it's, what's interesting to me is when I was looking at it is essentially the fullback version of the power forward. Like, Skill Corner have four like key metric groups that are the physical ones, and then they have game intelligence metrics, which are overcoming pressure, passing, and off ball running. And if anything, like, each profile has one of those at its core. Physical and off ball running seems to be the closest in terms of synergy because you're running, it's in the name. Whereas passing and overcoming pressure is more stylistic and about what you try, and you don't need to be fast in order to play a 90-yard through ball that cuts the defense into two. So the flyer archetype is the physical slash off ball running profile. So similar to the power forward, it was about fast players are going to be better. Like, it's not as integral. I found that, like, when I was running some of the correlation stuff, which again, I don't use as like a Bible, but I use to just better understand, okay, all of these fast players seem to be ranking really highly for this particular metric. Is that something that carries through and matches what we're seeing on the pitch as well? So for this, it was more high intensity, which Skill Corner defines as activity above a 20 kilometer an hour threshold. Sprinting is above 25 and high speed is 20 to 25. So high intensity captures it all. And then I found that the flyers, obviously, if you looked at the percentage of that high intensity stuff, that was sprinting. You could find the like rocket boot ones that are the Anthony Robinson basically of the type. So high intensity allowed me to see a broader search. And then again, you can get the subclasses, like the super speedy rocket boosting flyers are the ones with the sprints, but high intensity is still valuable. And someone that popped up as a really interesting one was Daniel Munoz at Crystal Palace. Obviously not in the scoutage age bracket, but he is absolutely steaming up and down and is probably one of the main reasons why that Glasner system is working so well. Tyrick Mitchell obviously didn't pop up like as an outlier in any of these, but already you see the dichotomy of they don't both do the same thing. And Mitchell might be in there to be more of an out of possession sort of safety, and has that sort of Wan-Bissaka gene of being able to just slide tackle anyone that goes past it.
So in terms of the flyer archetype, you know, you've discussed there that it's a lot to do with physicality or intensity, athleticism, and off-ball running. When I think of flyers, I think of, you know, the types of fullbacks who are going to be doing underlapping and overlapping runs, who are going to be making those runs in behind to support attacking phases of play. That was something which bore out in the analysis in your piece, and you were able to sort of pick out, or rather the data was able to point out some of the best contemporary examples of flyers, many of whom are in the Premier League. Who were some of those, and why do you think that they present so well in the data?
Yeah, so the main two that I highlighted in the article were Kerkez and Anthony Robinson. I feel like I always merge him into Robertson, considering that Liverpool have been linked, but Robinson and Kerkez appeared as like the exponents of the flyer archetype, not just in the Premier League, like they were the biggest exponents across big five leagues, which is what the data set was about. I think there was 311 fullbacks in this data set, so a decent chunk to see stylistic differences. But that makes sense with what we spoke about in the power forward stuff as well, about the Premier League becoming more physical. So this physical archetype is becoming more popular in the Premier League, perhaps, and almost returning to what it was in a couple of decades ago. But yeah, Kerkez and Robinson ranked really high for not just the physical aspects, but the things that I found that were tied to those. So you mentioned already, like lapping over and underlapping runs, and Skill Corner initially have those as separate things. So just combining them, make sure that you find the people that are adding sort of like verticality through running from behind the ball to beyond it. And I found that looking at the origin points of all the runs, that in itself was providing a style in itself. Is like who runs from behind the ball to ahead of it in order to like stretch the play, and who runs beyond the ball but not necessarily in behind in order to receive. So yeah, Kerkez and Robinson emerged there. And then there was one guy that hasn't played loads of football this season and has an absolutely crazy name that I will not say the full name of as a bit of a tease, but I think it's Juana Chavez that plays for Lons. He's on loan. Let me just get some more info.
Did you say he was in the piece? Did you say he was on loan from Bahia in Brazil?
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, he's at Lons, on loan from Bahia, and graduated from the Independiente del Valle Academy, which is the famous Ecuadorian academy that Caicedo and everyone else is from. And basically, not only was he a flyer in the fullback sense, but he was a flyer in the wingback sense, which if you change from lapping runs to like runs in behind, you get people like Jeremy Frimpong just at the top of the list by an absolute mile, because he's essentially a winger. But Chavez in there, like ranked in the top 10% for all of the key physical metrics. And again, the whole breakdown is in the article. But he also ranks like for threat of lapping runs and for direct runs, which Skill Corner call runs in behind and cross receiver runs. So again, he's not played loads of football. So it's very much, he's played enough to be captured in this data set, because there's like a minimum 5-60 minute games played this season. But obviously with his, he's born in 2002. So he's not super young, but he also he's not played much for Lons in two loan spells. So it's really interesting to see whether he's just got those huge numbers from coming on as a sub, like, and just bursting past people when everyone else is tired, or if there's a really strong core there that's going to somehow explode in the right environment.
I would implore, if anyone's interested in him, to go and check out what Juana Chavez's middle name is, because that's an interesting one, to say the least. Unique, I think. What were his parents thinking? Come on, the Chavez Quinteros, what were you thinking? He was one again who I had not come across before. So then when I was looking at the graphics in the archetypes piece, I was thinking, okay, I'll go and have a look to see what he's like. You know, the very fleeting YouTube clips that you're able to get of him are, he very much exhibit a player who's able to open his legs and is very keen to just get as far up the pitch as possible, as quickly as possible. Now, you can see that in certain teams why that wouldn't be necessarily the best thing, but you can understand why, you know, for a Liverpool, for example, why they've succeeded with Andy Robertson for so long, is because they're dominating possession, they're dominating games, they've got the territory and everything. And I suppose that kind of brings us on to what makes a flyer excel in certain setups. And I suppose more to the point, why Liverpool have been linked so closely with somebody like Milos Kerkez at Bournemouth, because going back to the Pokemon argument, it does seem as though Kerkez, at least in the data, and also if you've watched a fair bit of Bournemouth this season, it does seem as though Kerkez is sort of a very suited evolution to accede to the Robertson throne, if you will.
Yeah, that was the main thing. Like I wrote in Monday Night Scouted a week before the fullback stuff came out. Because I'd been working on it for a while. I had it all in my mind. And then he did that incredible assist against Spurs. And it's like, you've literally done the visual representation of what I'm about to write about. And then earlier in the season, I think it was against Newcastle, where he scored in the where he scored in the 96th minute when he just ran without the ball to get into the box and then just smashed it. So I was like, this guy's given us two clips that literally show the archetype. And then again, in terms of like the data stuff, so in the whole data set, he was the player with the highest percentage of runs that were lapping runs. So 30% of the run off ball runs he makes are either underlaps or overlaps, and no one else was in. Obviously, he's only just over 30, but that was by a fair distance. And then, for example, Jeremy Frimpong was the highest for the direct runs. So you've got the wing back flyer in Frimpong, the poster boy. You've got the wing back flyer in Kirkes as the full back flyer, sorry. And then he also ranked really high for the percentage of high intensity actions as sprints. So again, the augmentation of the physical in the off ball. And when he makes these underlaps and their overlaps, they're not just sort of dawdling runs that will pull a player around. They're done at high intensity and speed in order to sort of break defensive lines, which the big difference I found with the archetypes is that they are all trying to achieve a similar thing in terms of like progression or penetration, but it's whether you do that with the running and the speed of your running, is whether you do it with your passing ability, or whether you're doing it, or whether you're not actually looking to provide that at all and you're just providing security. So that's how they sort of all interlink. And yeah, Kirkes is going to suit a team that plays fast and direct football. At Bournemouth at the moment, I was looking at like their style of play and why maybe he's thriving in it. And obviously, again, they're all related, but the reason he's thriving in it is because they make the fourth most pass cross-receiver runs across Big Five leagues. So they're the team that makes the fourth most runs in which the players are looking to receive across. And they have the fifth most of those that lead to shots for the team in total. So Iriola's got them playing an incredible style of football that relies on getting the ball into the box from these wide areas and people arriving in the box. And in Kirkes, they've got a fullback that not only can sort of has the physical capacity to thrive in that role, but is adding to it with the intensity of his runs that he's doing. So that struck me as something that maybe Slot's going to change and he won't use Robertson and Alexander and Arnold in the same way. But if you were looking for an heir to Robertson in terms of the one of the best fullbacks in terms of just relentless running up and down the flank for the past 5 years, then Kirkes is starting to emerge as the poster boy in that. And then you've obviously got Robinson at Fulham, but he's older now, so Kirkes is likely to be the long-standing one if he stays around.
Yeah, and there's some great data visualization graphics that Jake has put together in the fullbacks archetypes piece on the Scouted Notebook. If you'd like to check that out, which really paint a picture of just how impactful Kirkes is with those runs and the specific types of runs that he's making, which again highlights his intensity and his physical attributes. Let's move on to the second archetype when it comes to fullbacks, and that is the Pathfinder. Now, when I was going through doing sort of the research for, or the preparation for this, because you've done all the research, Jake, when I was doing the prep for this this podcast episode, I finished the flyer section and I went to myself, I love a flyer. I think they are my favorites. And I don't think that the Pathfinder or the Imposter is going to topple it. And then I read the Pathfinder and I thought, but maybe I'm actually more in tune with the Pathfinders. Maybe that's who I'd want in my team if I was sort of building from scratch. I suppose the main question is, what is a Pathfinder? What are the attributes that they have? I know you've alluded to it with, you know, the fact that they are passers first and foremost. But what are Pathfinders and how do they slightly differentiate from flyers?
Yeah, so like I said when we were discussing the profile, so if the flyer is the physical and the running profile at the core, then the passing metrics that Skill Corner provide is at the core of the Pathfinder. And it's basically not looking at all passes, it's looking at particularly passes that go vertical and into space. And those are runs ahead of the ball, and runs in behind. So although Trent, again, is very good at crossing the football, he doesn't actually do it as much as you may expect. He does the more sort of deep quarterback, like Hail Mary passes, which is what I've tried to without calling it a quarterback. That's what I tried to visualize with the name and the metrics that we've pulled out. So the top two pass to run types you should look at when you're looking at this Pathfinder archetype with Skill Corner data specifically is not volume of passes in total. These aren't going to be metronomic and they might not make 50 passes a game, but the runs that they're seeking out compared to other players on the pitch, they're making much more. So the example I gave in the article, just to provide context, was that looking at this season, top five leagues, if you look at all passes to runs, Trent ranks in the 60th percentile for attempts, which is fine. Like, it's good. It's above average and it's not anything, but it wouldn't stand out. You wouldn't be like, who's this guy? But then if you focus at runs, attempts to passes to runs ahead of the ball, he's at 4.1, which is 97th percentile. And then in behind, he's at 3.7, which is 96th percentile. So all of a sudden, by looking at two specific types of pass, Trent goes from an average player to a top 5% player. And I felt that really helped net isolate what I was looking for when I was trying to find players like Trent. And the point that I made in the article at the end was that I've not written this to tell you that Trent is a really good passer or that Kerkez is really fast and goes up and down a lot, or the players that are in the postura role are really good at retaining possession. It was trying to reverse engineer what they did, find it, map it with data so that you can just go on any country or continent that Skill Corner has access to, apply the same tests and be like, oh, wow, here is the Croatian first league Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you would then have to actually watch them. This isn't, again, meant to be like a cheat code to just sign a player if they come up on the data, but it just accelerates that discovery process. So I've gone on a tangent there, but yeah, the main thing for the Pathfinder was like verticality of passing rather than running and penetration by looking at ahead of the ball, people that are running beyond them, and they're surveying the scene and trying to attack those spaces. So as an example, for the contrast that you asked for, this isn't in the article, but something that I thought again afterwards that would have been interesting. I looked at Trent and Robertson over the six full seasons of available. So from 2018-19 to 23-24, which is all under Klopp. Trent makes two times more passes to runs in behind than Robertson, like per 30 minutes of possession. And Robertson makes 2.5 times more lapping runs than Trent in that time. So again, the percentages actually were closer than I thought, but already there you've got, right, Robertson is going to always make more lapping runs than Trent, but Trent is going to be finding the in-behind runs with his passing. So you've already got like a duo that is functioning in a different way. And as I said at the top of the piece, they're the two most prolific assist-providing fullbacks in Premier League history, but they've done it in their own different way. And Trent's one is more about getting the ball into space. Obviously, again, Liverpool, Klopp made everyone run into space. So again, it's finding the right team for you if you've got that skill set is important, but it shows that Robertson wasn't doing it. It's Trent that was tasked with finding those runs within the team.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. The what you're saying there about the percentages being quite similar, but them doing it in their own way. Like, you know, on one side you have a pathfinder, an elite level pathfinder in Trent Alexander-Arnold. On the opposite side, you have an elite level flyer in Andrew Robertson, who, you know, have been able to, who have essentially been the poster boys for these archetypes of fullbacks, yeah, for several years, which is why we're laboring the point, because they are the best examples of recent times, and I think it's fascinating that analysis of how Trent can be maybe an average, as you say, in quotation marks, an average fullback from the perspective of, you know, how many passes is he making to runs, except when you then break it down into those two specific types of runs, you know, the ones in behind and the penetrative runs that his teammates are making, that the fact that he's consistently finding them. And I think it goes without saying, you know, utilizing the skill corner data, I think when you look at the amount of dangerous runs that he'll be able to find that he's successful with and the attempts that he tries to find, Alexander-Arnold will be up there as well. I suppose it's a good time to discuss Alexander-Arnold, given the news of this week and him potentially going to Real Madrid at the end of the season. There was a little sort of note, an information box in the piece when you were describing what a Pathfinder is and why they're good and why they're useful. And it was that they pair up quite nicely with power forwards, because as we discussed on last month's episode and as you did in the power forwards archetypes piece, they're constantly making runs in behind. You know, they're constantly asking that question of opposition defenses. You know, are you concentrated? You know, are you going to have the wherewithal to be able to go with me 13, 14, 15 times a game when I'm making that run in behind? What makes it, well, apart from that, what makes it a lucrative pairing to have a Pathfinder at fullback, but then also to have a power forward in attack?
Well, it's fairly simple in the sense that, like, if runs in behind and ahead of the ball make up 60% of a Pathfinder's passing profile, then you need players in the team that are going to be making lots of those runs, because the more runs they make, the more runs that the Pathfinder can attempt to find, which they look to find. So it's all just sort of rolls down the hill in that way. So if the power forward is going to be our archetype that is the runner in behind, then the important thing to know is that it doesn't have to be a Pathfinder fullback. But as you're squad building your team and building your game model, so if you're saying, like, we want to make runs in behind a lot, we're going to do that via our forward, our winger, or even a third man runner, right, in midfield. Mm-hmm. At some point, you need to have a player in that team that is not only able to spot these runs, but is able to execute them or at least attempt them on a regular basis. So if your midfield has been built with, yeah, athletic box-to-box players that are just there to dismantle opposition lines through their running, or you've got your forwards doing it. And even we saw with Liverpool, like, their midfield famously didn't do much, like the Henderson, Wijnaldum, Fabinho. So they didn't have that expansive passer in there. Jordan Henderson, like, had done it in previous clubs and had done it from, like, a right midfield almost. But the way they were used is they weren't asked to do that. They were asked to regain possession, give it to either the forwards or Trent. So the pairings, again, are making sure that you've got specific archetypes working with each other, like giving it synergy, to use buzzwords in all of that. So if you've got a player that is making a lot of runs in behind, or your game model is built on running into space in behind as a way to score goals, then if you're looking for your team and you're building your squad and you're like, oh, we haven't got anyone that does this, or where should we look to do this from on the pitch, this is where you could say, right, we can search for which fullbacks are available. Maybe we can incorporate that role. Maybe we can give that responsibility to our fullback if we've got someone that's good at that. Again, it doesn't have to be the fullback, but it could be, and it could be the left back, or it could be a midfielder, and then you pair it with a flyer so that the midfielder can drop deep and has an outlet out wide as well. And you start to build those synergies of, like, okay, so if this is the physical off-ball running profile, we need someone to serve them within the team, which is this passing profile. Let's make sure the habits match up. And yeah, it's really fun to start to see those develop. And again, they might seem really obvious, but just having them written down and being like, oh yeah, of course I should look to do this if we're doing this, was like a really sort of fun thought experiment. And again, I've always loved, like, pretend squad building, whether it's on Football Manager or just literally planning Arsenal's summer, even though I have no ability to influence what's being bought. You would start to be like, okay, we lack runners in behind, but we have someone that's serving runners in behind. We need to add more runs in behind. Like, we need to add that type of profile. So this just gives you a quick word to use in place of trying to explain runs in behind and stuff like that. And yeah, the pairings and the partnerships that are forming allows you to work out which area of the pitch you want to create the synergy.
On the topic of the pairings and the synergy and all that sort of stuff, you know, hypothetically speaking, if Alexander-Arnold does go to Real Madrid this summer, you're looking at him providing for the likes of Kylian Mbappe as the centre forward, as the power forward, some might say. You know, there are elements to him. Certainly during, you know, during his earlier days in his career when he's been sort of playing on the shoulder and that sort of thing. But also, you know, those third man runs of Jude Bellingham as well from that attacking midfield profile. So you can see if you are, you know, planning out how to execute a more effective game model for Real Madrid, you can see how having a pathfinder profile on the right side of fullback really, really benefits you, because you already have the other building blocks in place to make those runs in behind, and you're essentially just waiting for that player to come and facilitate.
It's essentially the, like, I put Trent Alexander-Arnold as like a wild card option. I can't remember how long ago the video was, but not when he was like properly linked. I think we ended up publishing the videos when like the first news of it broke, which was like incredible timing. But basically, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and we'll come on to like the secure passing profile for fullbacks, but Trent doesn't provide any control. That's not what you put him in your team for. He probably could. Like, he probably learned to do that because he's a almost technically flawless footballer. But his big superpower, like, to use that word again, is the ability to put a 75-yard pass perfectly in the path of someone that's running into space. So Cruz was the one that was doing that for Real Madrid, was always top of passes into the final third, passes, like progressive passes, et cetera, et cetera. And probably wasn't doing it into space, actually. He probably just found them more on the wing and let them run. Whereas if you add Trent into your team now, you add the control, or maybe you just say, I don't want control anymore. Like, as we've seen, the teams that are relying on possession for control are starting to like get undone by these physical teams that are running them over and steamrolling them. So maybe Carlo Ancelotti says, right, Carvajal 1 is getting older and needs to be replaced anyway. The gap in our squad is someone to find all of these runners that we've got in behind. Vinicius, Mbappe, Bellingham. When Valverde is actually playing in midfield, he's one of the strongest runners in the world. So you've got four like elite talents that love running into space ahead. But rather than wheeling out a 39-year-old Modric to try and get a bit of progression, or relying on Dani Ceballos, who again is okay, but is not an elite level talent at it, do you then just say, right, the position we need to sign is right back. There's someone that's free. Again, we'll be on a lot of wage, but we don't have to pay a transfer fee. We can now maximize our running in behind assets by signing Trent Alexander-Arnold and then adjusting left back, center back to cover his deficiencies, which I obviously you have to consider, but you don't put Trent in your team to defend. You put him to destroy opposition teams with his passing. And if you have destructive passing with destructive running, then Real Madrid can score at any single point in time when he joins their team. And it's super exciting to think about. Like, I think Trent's the perfect profile they need for that team. And also it's very intelligent, because it's finding that gap. And yeah, maybe they bought too many people that ran in behind or could use pace, but if they retrain Mbappe to focus on those in behind runs rather than dropping deep and thinking that you can take everyone on, or at least working in tandem with Bellingham, then yeah, that's scary hours, as the cool kids say.
It's an enticing prospect for those who follow Real Madrid. Certainly not if you're from a Liverpool perspective, because obviously the inverse is that's what you're losing.
And that's a really key point, because the next archetype stuff we're doing as a tease is wingers, and specifically like why is Salah so amazing? And a lot of it is about the fact that he does a lot of these direct runs. Guess who's the direct run feeder in Liverpool's team, mm-hmm. Trent. So there is an argument that if you are losing Trent, maybe you don't renew Salah, because are you going to be able to replicate Trent's output in terms of feeding Salah? So is he then worth 400 grand a week? Like, I know Liverpool fans are frustrated with contracts, but that is genuinely, if they knew Trent was going, it then becomes a question like, is Salah's profile going to be maximized to the same extent without Trent? And then it's like, well, if it's not, is he worth that money? Again, he is. But like, that's what you'd have to be thinking if it's your club and you've got actual money to consider. So that's a devastating knock-on effect as well for Liverpool. But at the same time, they could say, right, Pathfinder, scrap that profile, we'll go flyer or imposter, and we'll just be more direct and or we'll be less direct but carry the ball through running, etc. Like, this is where I'll start self-editing and getting carried away, because the thoughts of like how you would then build that squad is what I love doing. But you just triggered me then to think, that was a point I wanted to make, was the one of the big reasons why Salah is so good is because he makes the runs. But if you've not got anyone in your team that can find him with regularity, then what is the purpose of making those runs?
So it's mentioned dangerous. You mentioned something to me about before we started recording about wanting to emphasize something called a padlock Pathfinder, and you know, the have the potential for off ball and on ball combinations.
Yes,
to be a Pathfinder. Could you explain that a little bit more in depth for me, but also for anybody?
Yeah. So actually, that I don't think I've said it yet. What's really important is that a lot of this stuff is in possession. Mm-hmm. So the normalization I was using was per 30 minutes team in possession. And even in physical stuff, that makes a huge difference. This wasn't an archetype piece strictly, but the Brazilian centre-back stuff that I wrote with Skill Corner Data, talking about like super sweepers and how to spot defenders that can actually defend in like break glass in case of emergency, finding the metrics that made Van Dijk look better than he is. Like, he doesn't always look good on, or there are certain defenders that don't look good with event data. So what are the markers that teams must be looking at to show they're good? Anyway, Skill Corner have announced that new out of possession metrics are coming. So with this archetype stuff, there is potential to either, there could be really robust archetypes that combine everything. So one that I've already got in mind for midfielder is like a ground eater that makes box-to-box runs on the ball, but also makes a lot of recovery out of possession runs. And it's just essentially the box-to-box midfielder mapped out. But what's interesting for the fullback is these are all in possession styles, but are there going to be fullbacks that are the flyers, but aren't very good in 1v1 duels or defending? And there could be players that love sitting in that little half space, pinging direct passes, but they are actually very good at 1v1s. So the padlock archetype out of possession would be people like Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Like, you can't dribble past him. So he would be padlock out of possession plus whatever his in possession archetype is. And then you can start making the combos to be like, right, we've got all of our defensive line, they're all sweepers, but none of them are actually any good in 1v1 battles. So if we come up against any direct wingers, we're going to get torn to shreds. But we're protected against runs in behind. So that's where the strength and weaknesses chart comes in, of you've got to build a squad that is able to be protected against all the different threats that could come your way. And that's why I think, again, this could be bias of the team I support. People that complain about the money spent on Arsenal building like 8 or 9 defenders is actually extremely incredible squad building, in my opinion, because they have 2 centre-backs that do 2 different things. The 2 full-backs on each side provide that like in possession and out of possession contrast. So like Miles Lewis-Skelly, who we'll come on to for the imposter stuff, plays it in a completely different way to Calafiori. So it's not a case of one is better than the other. It's when we play a team that is going to be weak to this style, let's play that. So when we play a water type team, let's play our electric type left back. Like, that's how I start thinking of it. I nearly said the wrong weakness then as well, but
I can see yourself getting to, I can see myself, sorry, getting tied in knots, but I think you're doing a very good job of explaining it in sort of layman's terms, because I know that it is very complex and very technical.
I'm also a layman as well. That's a big thing that I want to point out, is that I'm doing this as someone that has an idea that it could be there to find out, and I've been very fortunate in being given the ability to do that and pursue it. But there are lots of other things to read that have done similar stuff. And I guess what we're trying to do through Scouted is to make it a bit more mainstream and then inspire others to actually like explore it further within, because again, we're not working for a club, but a club probably already has archetypes, but this is a window into potentially how they're, when you're questioning a signing, this is a window into how they might be operating. Like I said, like, oh, Arsenal have bought another fullback. Yes, they have, but have they bought one that covered the final weakness, either in possession or out of possession? Like, Calafiori provides the thrust of running. Like, we'll get it onto the imposter, but like, that's what, there nearly was a fourth archetype that emerged because it wasn't quite a flyer, but it wasn't quite an imposter, and people that run beyond rather than retain and cause chaos rather than create safety or create security. It's all of that is really fun to just explore.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, that there will be players who kind of fall between the gaps of these, you know, clearly marked out archetypes, but you know, there will be, it's not to say that, you know, one player is simply a flyer or simply a pathfinder. You know, we've been using the examples of Milos Kerkez and Trent Alexander-Arnold because they are the purest form that we can find in the data. And also if you've watched them in the eye test as well. But let's get on to the final archetype that you've coined, the imposter. And I do quite like this one as well.
That was Tom. I just had like false fullback. So Tom did imposter, the writer, the editor,
creative direction.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So he deserves credit.
He's a pathfinder when it comes to the right words.
Hey, here we go.
Words in behind. Yeah. imposter. The imposter archetype is another one which is, it's so obvious as a, you know, a term, because we've seen so much of it. You know, so many midfielders that have inverted. But I think actually getting it codified in a way which is quite understandable and mainstream, as you were saying, you know, 2-3 minutes ago, has been difficult, because you can get a central midfielder to play right back or left back, and yes, they might you know, they might have different attributes when it comes to how they operate in their nominal position of central midfield, but when they then go out to the flank, they kind of, I don't know, they can, the data suggests that they maybe more coalesce in a sense and then become secure. They become midfielders but playing on the wing. And, you know, a lot of them have the inherent preference to move inside and to play passes in that way. But I think at the core of the imposter, as you've written and as you're about to explain, is that security and possession, which I think is obviously one of the main proponents of central midfielders. You know, you want the people in the middle of the park to be the best on the ball, because that is the best way you keep possession.
Yeah, and another point I made in there was that the imposter is like the antithesis of the pathfinder, or like the yin and yang.
Yeah,
in the sense that, like I said about Trent, is so, again, I'll self-edit because I'm getting carried away with like all of it. So the imposter one, the core metric at the heart of it is overcoming pressure or dealing with pressure on skill corner. So again, retention rates, difficulty of passing versus safety of passing. What you want the imposter to do is to never give the ball away. Mm. So they invert into midfield to provide assistance in the build-up and allow you time to set up your in-possession system, because you know that if you pass it to them, they won't lose it, or they'll win a foul, or they know how to use the space to keep it. So in the same way that Jorginho does that. I'm using Arsenal examples because I've watched them so much that I've mapped it all out in my head. It's not a case of that I think Jorginho is the best, but the way that Jorginho plays in midfield is how the imposter plays from fullback. They do the exact same role. So there's an argument that you don't want an imposter if you've got Jorginho, if that makes sense. That's where we're getting the squad building stuff from. Yeah. But again, Thomas Tuchel provided a perfect example for us of why, one, this 18-year-old kid that made his senior debut this season is now first choice for his club and country. Because he was left back on the team sheet, because when, again, the out of possession system, he would be in left back, and Lewis Skelly is probably of the padlock out of possession style because his ground duel success rate is really high, as well as his retention rate in possession. So you know that he can deal with his wingers when he's left back, but then when you get into your in possession style, you don't want him wide. You want him in the middle, receiving the ball in the most difficult areas, because Kjaer's written about his use of his body in scout notes. Like, this guy is like a veteran user of limbs and how to leverage weight and how to retain the ball under pressure. So that's what the imposter profile is about someone that comes into the most difficult areas so that you can set up your in possession system and allows for, like, I think with England, we saw 3-2-4-1 or even 3-2-5 in that like classic W shape that, again, has been around for ages. But the whereas before that was your centre midfielder and then your left back would go up wide, an imposter fullback allows you to set up that system, allows your winger to be isolated in the sense that they get more one-on-one opportunities and provides you with security in midfield, and allows your Bellingham and Rodgers to just belt up the pitch without having to like receive in the build-up. So Lewis Skelly inverted next to Declan Rice, which, again, he's got that ground eater profile next to him, the imposter build-up player, and then he's got all of the midfielders, which we haven't done yet, but that's ideally what it was. And again, in the article, I used Fabian Delph as like the Premier League's introduction to that, like a box-to-box midfielder as a youth prospect, and that's how he was highly rated. Turned into a left back, played 18 games in a row, or played 14 games out of the 18 games they won in a row in the Premier League as a left back, and was the left back for the only team in Premier League history to get 100 points. And he was a midfielder. But it's because in possession, he got to do all of the stuff that he was good at in midfield. But then they wanted their midfielders to be the ones that were De Bruyne and David Silva. So it's just a way to fit like that security of profile into your team if you've already got like too many good wingers and midfielders that you want to, again, like maximizing other people in your team. But yeah, the imposter compared to the pathfinder is about getting possession so that you can give it to the pathfinder or someone like that, whereas the pathfinder is the one that would benefit from an imposter because they can set up and everyone can set up to make the runs in behind and then they can fire off. So
I suppose that kind of brings me on to, well, it answers the next question that I had, which was going to be, you know, if you do employ an imposter who is inherently less creative than a pathfinder, maybe less athletic in the vertical sense than a flyer, where else in your team, you know, do players pick up the slack? And I suppose you've answered that by saying that your winger on whichever side the imposter is playing on, the winger is able to basically just set up camp on his side and go for those 1v1s at all times, basically pin the opposition fullback, pin the opposition center half, depending on where they play, if it's out wide or in the half space. That is basically who picks up the slack. And you also have the opportunity to make, you know, your if you say, for example, this is a 4-3-3 out of possession, your left-sided or right-sided central midfielder to pull wide and basically pull it, just set up camp in the half space. And I think that's going back to the Liverpool example. If Liverpool had employed an imposter in their, you know, the team of the last 6-7 years, instead of Robertson as the flyer or Alexander Arnold as the pathfinder, it wouldn't have worked as well, because yes, while you had players who were capable of building up, you know, you're not seeing in that midfield three that you mentioned, you know, Wijnaldum, Fabinho and
Henderson.
Who was the other one? In
Henderson, yeah.
And of course, yeah, Jordan Henderson. Like, they're not players that are then going to make runs, are they? But you've also got an imposter who's wanting to invert and wanting to you know, create, wanting to build up in those early phases. But that's kind of what the midfield's function was. So
yes, exactly.
you can see where, you know, the archetypes have a real use, a real practical use, because, you know, you could say, hypothetically speaking, in a recruitment department meeting, okay, we don't need an imposter fullback archetype here because, you know, we have this because of the makeup of this midfield profile.
Yeah. And the person that added insane retention was Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
So that guy that, like, again, it, you know, when pass accuracy became like everyone's favorite metric and then everyone's least favorite, because it was like, what are your passes doing? Wijnaldum was asked to receive the ball and not give it away so that Robertson could bomb on. And again, you know, I mentioned at the beginning about how I was like, should they have been subtypes? Like, the Pathfinder will tuck in because they will, they won't tuck in as much as the imposter, because, for example, Lewis Skelly ranked highest for percentage of half space percentage of high pressures received that occurred in the half space. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a metric that I just used quickly to be like, well, obviously this guy's in central areas or half space areas more often. But like, Trent actually is high up for that as well. But he didn't invert to retain, he inverted to give him full access to the pitch. Because again, like, if you're right back playing to a right winger, there's not much angle. He makes it work because he's just so insane. But if he tucks inside, then he can access both flanks with a bit of an angle on it. So that's where I was like, oh, maybe imposter needs a bit more work, in the sense that you can't, it's more about the retention, and like, maybe calling it, maybe your Pathfinder is also an imposter. But then this is like, so you have a Pathfinder imposter and a safety imposter sort of thing. But they do work on their own. It's just, that's the sort of thing I was beginning to learn, was that it's more about the retention, and the half space reception is almost like a subtype. And then I also mentioned about how, like, Lewis Skelly and Calafiori are completely different, even though Calafiori does find himself inside, but like, he invades the space ahead and inside, whereas Lewis Skelly, like, sits and lets people run ahead of him and secures the ball. So Calafiori again looks for penetration through his running, but inside, whereas the flyer looks through coming from behind to beyond. Like, there's still a lot to work on to get them, like, fully robust. But as I said, this is the introduction piece, and I think we've got a really secure foundation for one. It did help identify three completely different players. And like you said about the physical stuff, so Lewis Skelly and Rico Lewis, for, as an example, and even Reece James came up, like, badly for physical metrics. And this is in possession. So they came up because they're not running, or they don't need to do anything at high intensity, because they're just pulling off, saying, give me the ball, protecting it, turning away, pass, and then we'll maybe jog up with the ball. So they're going to look quote unquote bad for speed, because the role they're playing is never asked. They're never asked to be fast. So again, that's where, like, chicken or the egg, like, are all flyers fast because they're asked to be fast? But that's when you start evaluating who's got the highest top speed. And again, without leading you down other strands of my brain and how I'm still trying to wrestle to work it out, like, that's the imposter one. You wouldn't need to look at in possession physical stats to find a good one necessarily, like, to use a very reductive statement. Whereas a flyer, if you were like, oh, we want to put this guy that has got a max speed of 25 kilometers PSV as our wing back, you'd be like, he's going to struggle to, like, even burst past. Sounds simple, but, like, that's the thing.
I suppose you look back at Reece James's background as well, when he was at Wigan and playing central midfield, he kind of, you know, that's unreal. That's the imposter isn't it, as well? It's almost like these things, well, chicken and egg, but these things track back to several years. So it makes complete sense that, you know, James is showing up well in imposter metrics, but also but not showing up well in sort of physical metrics. Almost like a central midfielder would if you tried to deploy him as a flyer.
Well, exactly. I think there was even some discussion recently about like Maresca calling him a midfielder, and people were like, and then Tuchel said, no, he's a fullback for me. But again, like the one reason why I think archetypes are useful as well is because perhaps they break, and this is going to sound, this is just going to sound like the cringiest thing ever, but like perhaps they, perhaps they like break those positional constraints that we all find ourselves getting confused about now.
Yeah.
So maybe a pathfinder is just anyone on the pitch that I was about to swear for emphasis, that just gets the ball into space, and wherever you put them is based on you, is based on your team composition. But so rather than saying like he's a fullback or a midfielder, you just say he's a pathfinder, like in your recruitment. Yeah. I don't think it's never gonna become mainstream like that, but in your recruitment meeting, you just say, right, Reece James is our pathfinder, we need an understudy. And it's like, okay, well, based on our in possession system, that usually comes from a fullback. Do we try and find a left footed one so that we can invert the setup if they've got a strong left winger, and we can put like a padlock defender on the right to stop? So say if you're playing Real Madrid and they load the left side with Vinicius and Mbappe, do we want Reece James there in his current? Because again, Reece James was one of my favourite fullbacks, but I think injuries may have reduced his physical capacity a bit more. So like as Chelsea, you're like, right, we've got Reece James who will play for 80% of the season because he's the best at what we want to do as our game model. However, when we come against a team that has a flyer left back, a power forward that drifts into the left channel, and like one of the best 1v1 wingers in the world, do we want Reece James playing over there? Perhaps not for today. Perhaps we just put him in midfield, put a right back that is a defender for this game, but then so we don't lose Reece James's pathfinding passing ability, perhaps we recruit a left-footed version so that in these scenarios in which we need to strengthen our right-hand side, we don't lose the ability to find Nicholas Jackson's runs into space because we've got the left-footed version. That's why I think they're useful. And that's why how I would then go about squad building, rather than being like, our right back does this, let's buy five of them. Be like, let's have three different variations of pro. Like, in an ideal world, you would have in your squad plus academy a flyer, a pathfinder, and an imposter, so that for any situation you could call on one of them to, again, exploit the weaknesses of the opposition team.
To put it into perhaps the most reductive term or reductive phrase to describe that, horses for courses, really. Yeah. Square pegs for square holes and round pegs for round holes. I think one of the things that I want to touch on finally before we finish, we've covered off the three scouted archetypes at fullback. But one of the things you mentioned to me was that the big purpose of these archetypes, or the main purpose, is to apply to leagues that maybe you don't have access to, or you can't watch, or you don't have the time to watch, to then get a better understanding, you know, in an immediate sense, because you understand what the archetypes are, you're then going to be able to get a quick understanding of which fullbacks are playing which role, and that allows you to be able to evaluate them quicker than if you then, you know, had to go through hours and hours of footage. You could narrow down which players were flyers, which fullbacks were pathfinders, and which were imposters, and based on what your team needed or based on what your squad needed, you could then essentially cut 66% of the workload potentially.
Yeah, so I also added another bit to it, is that not only does it help you, like, so say if you needed to, again, say if you were struggling for homegrown talent, and then you were like, well, we need a homegrown player, and the gap in our squad is, again, the passing to runs in behind. So like, say Liverpool are losing that because they've got Trent going and they want to find someone. You either focus on that particular archetype within a country that you know you need to sign from. So they could now look in the championship for the most pathfindery fullbacks and sign them just in order to help with squad management of like legality of squad and also development of playing style. But another thing that I obviously is assumed, but again, just to say out loud, is that you can identify hotbeds for styles. So mm-hmm. say if we're saying that the physical and running off ball profile of the Flyer is, you would then, again, on Skill Corner, you can just condense leagues into metrics. Again, they're all averages, so you have to be careful, and you can do it by position. But you could just do your own search of like the like non big five leagues, or you could even do like non big 10. You could look for all of the quote unquote sort of like untapped regions, apply all of these tests and see who came out as like, again, this is made up, but as an example, oh, wow. Everyone in the Danish Super League is super quick and makes loads of lapping runs. Like, one, they would be used to the style that we want to ask them to play.
Mm-hmm.
And also they've got the physical, it looks like in general, they have the physical markers to be able to thrive in the role. Or, for example, again, Kjell wrote about how Africa is becoming, or is extremely untapped for potential. And, again, it's an area that the club should be looking at to scout in order to get the best value out of investment. But if you have the access to those leagues, you can now be like, okay, oh, wow, a lot of fullbacks in Africa actually invert, like naturally, like whether the tactics are conducive to that happening, or a lot of them seem to come in and play very direct passing. We know that they're playing that style. So now let's watch these particular players from this league to evaluate the actual like quality of it. So not only can you go to any region, so you can either go to a region and be like, I want to see what you've got, or you can take your archetype and then apply it to the world and see which regions pop up as like Pathfinder hotbeds or flying hotbeds, or this region is particularly strong for imposters. Like for Spain, for example, everyone's so technically gifted that do their right backs, do all of them just invert and play expansive passes in behind because they're all quality at football. I think Oscar Mingueza came up as like
he did,
super
yeah.
high. And he's, I think he's had a bit of a revelation this season, or like a redefining, plays at right back, but was a centre back, but has this crazy passing ability. So yeah, in my head that was going to be much smoother and explained much better, but you can either search a country for and see which players exist there, or you can take an archetype and see which countries serve that archetype the best from a recruitment place.
Show me your Flyers, show me your Pathfinders, based on these metrics that are obviously very specific. Jake, thank you very much for joining me on this month's Scouted podcast. I hope if you've been listening, you've gained something from that, because I know I certainly have. It's kind of enhanced the understanding that I had of the fullback archetypes Scouted notebook piece, which I'd implore everybody to go and read in their own time, because there's some fantastic data visualization in there. There's some fantastic explanation of what each archetype is and how they're useful, what their attributes are, and basically to just build on what we've discussed in this episode today. Jake, do you have any other teaser trailers maybe for what the future archetypes might be? You've touched on them very briefly during the episode.
Yeah, I'd sort of reemphasize that I think Kao is writing something on a specific midfield style, and again using the idea of identifying a region that is maybe going to be a hotbed for it. That should be coming soon. These will probably be in April. And then, yeah, I'm exploring wingers and why. Yeah, looking under the bonnet of Mohamed Salah to see what it is that makes him an insane and what is making him on track to record the best ever Premier League season. So those should be the April ones if we can get them done. But otherwise, just get on scoutedfootball.com, subscribe, do it all.
Yeah, get yourself signed up to the Scouted Notebook, because it really is, exclusive of clubs. It is work that you're not getting elsewhere, certainly in depth and certainly in terms of the access to data.
It's not the notebook anymore, Joe. We've got the website. It's just scoutedfootball.com.
It is.
Everything there in one place.
Which I absolutely did know. And I have not just mentioned the notebook throughout the entire episode. Yeah. But yes, Tom Curran, if you're listening, I apologize for telling people to go to the Scouted Notebook. I hope there's a redirect link. Yes, get on over to scoutedfootball.com to sign yourselves up, because it's excellent when stuff like that drops in your inbox. There's so much of it, not just the skill corner pieces, not just the scouted archetypes pieces. It's really good stuff. But yeah, Jake, once again, thanks for joining me, and everybody listening in, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back shortly with another episode, maybe a winger archetypes episode. See you soon. Bye-bye. The Scouted Podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better-informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up-and-coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com.